second parak of Sanhedrin, which is a self-contained parak. It's not long at all. It's a few blot. Mitzvah Hashem will finish the whole parak, and we'll learn the major sugyas, around 16 shirim we have together. So we should be covering the major topics throughout this particular parak. So let's begin with this Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us the dinim of the Kohen Gadol and the dinim of the Melech about judging. We'll spend the next couple of days about the Kohen Gadol judging and testifying. But one of the halachas I brought down in the Mishnah is that meis lo meis, if a Kohen Gadol has a relative that dies, eino yotzei l'achar hamita, he's not allowed to follow the coffin. El hei nichsin v'hu nigla, and hei niglan v'hu nichase, they expose themselves, he covers. It's like almost like a hide and seek where they move around the corner, he goes to the next corner, they move to the next alleyway, he moves to the following alleyway, but there always has to be some distance between the Kohen Gadol and the mace. And as we saw in the Gemara, because we don't want the Kohen Gadol to touch the mace because he can't become tamei. So that's what they do. Again, they have yotze iman ad pesach shahar ir, and he follows the whole procession, the whole levaya, until he gets to the exit of the city of Yerushalayim, which we'll get to at the end, that significance. Divrei Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yehuda comments, Rabbi Yehuda argues, and Omer, he says, Eino yotze min ha-mikdash. The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to leave the base of Mikdash at all. Mishum shenemar, u'min ha-mikdash lo yetze. Pasuk says in the Parsha that a person is not allowed to, a Kohen Gadol rather, is not allowed to leave the base of Mikdash when he has a relative that dies, a close relative that dies. So this Mishnah is talking about whether or not the Kohen Gadol could come close to the mita or not, to the mita, to the coffin. And it sounds on the surface as if the debate between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is whether or not there's an Isser Daraisa to leave the base of Mikdash, or whether it's an Isser Midirban. That's what's, this again, the surface, the simple reading. Rabbi Yehuda says it's an Isser Daraisa, Mishum Shenamar Min HaMikdash Lo Yetze. And the Tanakhama, Rabbi Meir, holds that no, it doesn't say a Pasuk, but seemingly just an Isser Dirabanan of a chashashi might come close to the mace and become tamei. That's what the Mishnah says. Now, when you learn the Gemara, hopefully you had a chance to learn the Gemara in Daf Yutes, there, the Gemara seems as if the whole discussion, everybody agrees is that they're a banan. They only debate how far the chashash goes. So let's see what the Gemara says. Gemara in Daf Yutes explains, Shapir kamer Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda made a lot of sense. He quoted a pasuk, I mean, a mikdash lo yetze. So what was Rabbi Meir's explanation? Why did he allow the Kohen Gadol to leave the base of Mikdash and to follow the Mita through the different alleyways? So Amr Lecha Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says, Ihachi levesa namilo. If it's based on the Pasuk Min HaMikdash Lo Yetze, he shouldn't even be able to go to his own house. He should be stuck in the base of Mikdash his entire life. So he says, no, Hachi Kamar. Min HaMikdash Lo Yetze Miktushasa Lo Yetze. He shouldn't leave his Kedusha. He should not contaminate his Kedusha. He should not become Tameh. That's what it means, Min HaMikdash. Not from the physical Makom, the base of Mikdash. Rather, from his Kedusha, he shouldn't exit. He shouldn't leave. V'chevan de'islei hekera. Lo asu l'minge. Since there's a heker. Because the strange way that he turned the corner, they turned the next corner, he followed behind, like always a block behind each alleyway. That was enough of a heker to make sure he doesn't contaminate his Kedusha. Mikdushat lo yetze. So he's not going to come to touch you. Rabbi Yehuda took it a step further. Rabbi Yehuda did not rely on this heker. And agav merare, from the bitterness, from the pain of the death. So dilma mikre v'asi v'naga. Maybe he's going to run up and maybe accidentally touch the mace and become tamei. So it sounds like from this Gemara that they both agree to their banan. The reason why you can't leave the base of Mikdash is because you might come to touch the mace. When a Kohen Gadol loses a relative, he might be so bitter, might be so sad, and touch the mace and become tamei. And Rabbi Yehuda says, we have to be so concerned that he can't live the base of Mikdash, lest that happen. But the reason is in Isser Midrabanan. Ah, the Pasuk says, the Gemara, when the Mishnah quotes the Pasuk, Yishum Shenamar Min HaMikdash Lo Yetze, that's in Esmachta Ba'am. But they both agree, the reason why he can't leave the base of Mikdash, or can't come close, is because he might become tamei. Now the problem with this, well, this Gemara sounds fine, but the problem is in the Shitas Rashi and Shitas Rama. This Gemara again clearly says it's a din derabanan bein Rabbi Yehuda, bein Rabbi Meir. But when you look at the Rashi, the very first Rashi on our Perek, Rashi writes, Kohen Gadol eino yotze achar mita. The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to follow the mita. Dilma osi leminge, which is like our Gemara we just saw. V'hainu dihizahir kura min hamikdash la yetze. That's what the Pasuk is actually warning about, which means miktushasa lo yetzer. You should not leave his kedusha. Kolomar yisrachek min hakiur. He should not. He should distance himself from that which is ugly, literally that which is tameh. Shlo yavol lidei tumah. He should not come to tumah. And this pasuk of min hamikdash lo yetzer, the context, haikra bekoyin gadol onen ksiv. This is referring to a kohen gadol who's an onen, which means he lost one of his seven closest relatives. He's now in the state of aninus until the kvura. And after that it says, min hamikdash lo yetzer. So when he's serving as an onen before the kvura, min hamikdash lo yetzer, stay inside the base of mikdash. So Rashi says, izhar min hakra. The pasuk tells us to stay away. But our Gemara just told us in Daf Yotes, that's not a pasuk. That's an asmachta ba'alma. Rabbi Yehuda, I said mishum shenemar, that's an asmachta. Even Rabbi Yehuda thinks the reason is agav merari, because his bitterness, he might come to touch it. Not because of a gzeres akasav min hamikdash lo yetzer, it's a din derabanan. That's question one on Shitas Rashi. Question two is found in the Rambam. The Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos, lo sasei kuf samechei. There's an issur d'oraisa of a kohen to leave the Beis HaMikdash or to walk away from an avoda while he's doing an avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. He's working on a karban chatas, a karban ola, a karban tamid, whatever karban he's doing. He can't just drop his knife. He can't just drop what he's doing and walk out. That's an issur d'oraisa, a separate issur. And he says, based on the pasuk, umi pesach ol moed lo seite pen tamusu. And the Rambam says it's referring to a kohen. If a Kohen is doing the avoda, he's not allowed to leave, to walk away from that avoda. And in that same lav that the Rambam counts, nichpila azhara, he counts a second azhara within that, under one mitzvah. It's the Kohen Gadol, min hamikdash lo yete. He quotes this pasuk in Parshas Emor, and he quotes our Gemara as well, that the Kohen Gadol has an additional isser, that he cannot follow the mace, lo yilav a mace, so he cannot escort the mace in the Levi, the Rambam says. And that's pshat of the pasuk, min hamikdash lo yetzer. That's exactly what our Gemara in Sanhedrin says, daf samach, daf yudches. She quotes, shehu mi mace ein yotzeach armita, and they bring a rai, min hamikdash lo yetzer. So the Rambam clearly counts this as a deraisa as well. And Rashi in the Mishnah says this is a deraisa. But that goes against the Gemara in Yotes, which says that even Rabbi Yehuda, who quotes a pasuk, it's actually only in Isser Midirbanan, lest he come to touch the mace. So how are we going to explain Rashi and the Rambam? So the Kesef Mishnah already thinks that the Rambam holds it's a Esmachta Ba'ama. He quotes, he's like the Ramban al Torah that calls this an Esmachta. It's not really a Joshua. The difficulty with this is that number one is the Ran on our Sugya acknowledges that the Rambam does call it deraisa. Right, the Ran himself thinks it's an esmachta. The Ran himself holds like the Ramban that this pasuk min hamikdash lo yetzer is not really a drasha, but he does acknowledge that af al pi shemiloshen haRambam b'sefer mitzvos mashma davi issa deraisa. So for the Ran who understands the Rambam as an issa deraisa, that's question one. So it does sound like a deraisa. How does Rambam learn the Gemara in Yotes that sounds like it's a derabanan? So, I think we could, before we get to my suggestion, not really mine, with Mr. Engel's suggestion, the Aruch Lener and the Merom Yisrael that try to weigh in and make their own suggestion as to how to explain Shitas Rashi. Many times you have a contradiction in Rashi. He says something earlier in the Gemara, early in the Sugya, and he changes his opinion later on in the Sugya. So, the Aruch Lener and Merom Yisrael, both of them suggest that the Rashi is referring to a Havamina. When he quotes the pasuk, the azhahir kura min hamikdash lo yetzer, that was all in the Havamina. Like when you and I read the Mishnah at first, anyone who reads this Mishnah would understand that it's referring to min hamikdash lo yetzer. It's an issur d'oraisa to leave the base of Mikdash. And that's what the Rashi is referring to. And only later on in the Daf Yotes, when the Gemara introduces that, no, it's not really a drasha. It's only a derabanan for Rabbi Meir. It's an asmachta ba'alma. So then Rashi would agree to the maskana. He's only just trying to lead us all into pashup shot in the Mishnah. That's how the Merom Yisrael says, and the Aruch Lener. Now, the Merom Yisrael says an interesting yesod in just learning, Gemara, Pshat and Gemara. Now, not to embarrass him, but Zach is going to be a Rebbe of his 7th grade this year, and he's going to be teaching basics of how to learn for 7th graders. So there's a big yesod and when the Gemaras and Chazal use the word Mishum versus the word Shene'emar. When they bring a pasuk as Mishum, the Mor Masada says, and the Margalos HaYam also says this as well. This is apparently just the understood idea. Mishum means a pasuk mideraisa. It's a proof. It's a source in the Torah. And the word Shene'emar is, it's Esmachta. Shene'emar, as it says. But not that, that's just a Mishum is like the reason. It's strongly rooted in the pasuk. Mishum, because it says, Shene'emar is, as it says, but not the reason, not the source. It just, it's an Esmachta in the pasuk. So, based on this idea that the Rashi is only referring to the Hava Amina, so then the Girsa and the Mishnah should really be not the word Mishum, it should say the word Shenemar, because it's only an Esmachta. Just a good Ha'ara to be aware of when learning Gemara. Now, our Girsa actually in front of us is Mishum Shenemar, it says both of them. So there's a little ambiguity right there, as if it was confusing what the proper Girsa is. So that itself, if you knew this Yisod beforehand, you read the Mishnah and say, should it be Mishum? Should it be Shenemar? That's goof for the Machlokas. Is it their ice? Is it their bottom? But that's part of the confusion here. Now, the reason why I don't think this answer, whom I'd argue in the moment we saw there, I'm not arguing because to argue, I'm only leading into the Rav Yosef angle. But the challenge in this explanation of Rashi, that Rashi is working in a Havamina only, but the Maskana, he agrees that it's not their ice, is because already in the Mishnah, he's quoting what the Gemara tells us later on. He's already referring to the Maskana. He says, Dilma Asi Laminga. That's the first words he says. That Rashi didn't get from the Mishnah, he got from the Gemara Yotes. So obviously Rashi was working within the Gemara Yotes, and yet still, he writes, Yizahir Kra Min HaMikdash Lo Yetze, that the Torah is warning us, don't leave the base of Mikdash. Even though it's a chashash of, he might become Tameh. So those who know this Rav Yosef angle, this is a very simple understanding. Many of you perhaps do, many of you don't know this. Once you hear the Yisod of Rav Yosef Engel, it keeps coming up over and over again. You'll really appreciate it. I was debating whether I should go through this, but I decided we'll start the Zman with this Rav Yosef Engel. Because it's a very, very important Yisod that we see. Normally, the way we understand their Isas versus their Banans are that their Isas are, the Gzeres HaKasa says, don't do this. There's no reasons. Don't do this. And their abundance all are a siyag, it's a fence, it's a protection, lest you come to do something much worse. So for example, basar v'chalav. The Torah tells me, don't cook, don't eat basar v'chalav together. Chachamim added on many, many layers of their abundance, lest we come to eat them together. You have to wait 6 hours. You can't have meat and milk on the same table that people are eating, lest you come to eat them together. So that's a siyag. Chachamim create siyagim, they create fences, they create Derbanans, to prevent any chashash. And the Torahs create absolute averis. Don't do this. This is asr. And Chacham protect it with siyagim. Rav Yosef Engel's Mechadish, he really reveals, we find in many, many places, what he calls a siyag deraisa. I'm going to go through some of the easier ones to understand. That the Torah also actually creates siyagim on the Torah level. And once you start hearing these ideas, if you've heard them already, most of them are obvious, but once you get the hang of them, it flows very nicely. So let's go through some of the more obvious siyag deraisa that he lists. This is found in the Letach Tov. Yosef Engel had many, many more svarim, which we lost, actually, in the Melchama. They were burnt. He used to write all the time. There's a mice about Rav Yosef Engel. There's a newer sefer that came out a few years ago, called, I'm forgetting the name now, but it was Malakit, the different pieces of Rav Yosef Engel, and put it on the Seder of the Parashios. In the back of Chelek Aleph, there's a whole biography about Rav Yosef Engel. Fascinating. And it explains that at one time a person was visiting to his town and wanted to see Rav Yosef Engel. The Rebbetzin said, he's sleeping, he can't take visitors now. So the guest made a strange request, and he said, can I come watch him sleep? That's odd. But the Rebbetzin granted him that, and he came in and he watched Rav Yosef Engel sleeping, and it's reported that he was sleeping like this. He wasn't actually writing anything, but his hand motion, that's what was hand motion, just always writing, always writing, always writing. Rav Asher Weiss told me a couple years ago, I was with him in Chicago, and he said, like, his greatest hana is when he completes a pen. He loves to write. I mean, he uses all the ink up of a pen. He makes a seam on a pen. That's like his greatest hana. He finishes this pen, he moves on to the next pen with the ink. So some people like to write a lot. He wrote a ton, but we lost a lot of it. So we have a number of the svarim that we have, Gilyonei HaShas and Asvin Deraisa. Asvin Deraisa is a very, very important sefer. So one of them is called Lekach Tov. Just the likud of different, his understanding of Shas was incredible. So in Lekach Tov, Klal Ches, so he lists some of the siyag deraisa that we have. So the first one he lists here is the Ran in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim. There's an issa deraisa we know, ba yira ba yimatzei, a person can own, a person can see, a person can find chametz. The Ran says, some hold, Tosas writes, there's an issa deraisa to own it. The Ran says, there's an issa to own it, lest you come to eat it. There's no issa bifnei atmo to own it, but the siyag that the Torah itself created, lest it lead to an Isra Achilas Chametz. The next example the Rav Yosef Engel brings is based in Midrashim, the Gemara Numa, Chatzi Shir Aser Min HaTorah. Now, Chlokes Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan Paskins, that how we assume is that Chatzi Shir is Aser Min HaTorah. And the Gemara says, why is it Aser Min HaTorah? Because Chazi Litzirufa Lishirah, because that half of Kazayas could be Mashlim a full Shir. It could be Mitzdarif to a full Shir. So that itself is an Aser Bifnei Atzmo. It's just a siyag lest it come to a full shir. Now, what I'm saying to you right now is all just one tzad. There's another tzad that chatzi shir is actually asur bifnei atzmo. I'm just presenting this whole angle just to get this whole theme in of a siyag deraisa. The Kesa Mishnah in Hilchos Tumas Ames Perak Aleph Halacha Chaf that explains the iser of bishul basar b'chalav is not an iser bifnei atzmo, rather it's an iser lest you come to eat the Bas B'chalav, yet another example of a Siyag de Araisa. I'll bring maybe three more. Another one is Tosefa Shabbos. Achlokas, whether Tosefa Shabbos is a mitzvah de Araisa or mitzvah midirbanon. According to those who hold, it's a mitzvah de Araisa of Tosefa Shabbos. There's also an opinion, Rashi quotes in the Pasuk Vayechulu, in the beginning of Bereishis, he says, why do we have Tosefa Shabbos? Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu knows exactly when Shabbos begins. Knows mamish the moment. You and I don't know when Shabbos begins exactly. We have to add on a few moments, lest we come to violate Shabbos itself. So there, Tosefa Shabbos, if you assume it's a deraisa, it's a deraisa, it's a siyag deraisa, lest you violate Shabbos itself. And two more, I'll mention he has a few others. He also has in the Milum, he adds another one or two. He mentions here, yichud. It's a yichud, according to those who assume yichud's deraisa, Isser siyag lest to come to far more worse, and also chibuk v'nishach. Those who assume it's a deraisa, it's a siyag lest to come to arayos. So those are on this list. Rites of Yosef Engel, our sugya of min hamikdash lo yete. And hopefully you had a chance to see it. If not, it's any more makomos number 10 here. Rav Yosef Engel writes as follows. He says, number 10, the last page, Sanhedrin daf yud ches. The Mishnah Kohen Gadol Shemes Lameis Eina Yotze Achar Mita is not allowed to follow the Mita. Rashi there says in Dimaska Eina Yotze Dilma Asi Liminga. Perhaps the Kohen Gadol may touch the mace. V'hainu Di Zahir Kra Min Hamikdash Lo Yetze Miktushah Shelo Yetze Kolomer Yisrachik Min Akir Shelo Yavol Detuma Ad Kan Lashono. That's Rashi. Udvarim Udvarav Heim Min Hagemara Sham Daf Yates Umevur Bezev Dishayach Siag Min Hatar. So that's clearly his understanding. It's not a contradiction in Rashi. It's not that Rashi had a Havamina and changed his Havamina. No, it's because it's all the same thing. Yes, the Gemara says it's a Tam Davar. There's a reason why the Kohen Gadol can't chase after the Mita. It's because he might become Tame. But that's the Torah telling us not to do that. That's the Torah telling us to the Kohen Gadol not to follow after because maybe Shema Yinoge Esmeis. So this is an example of a Siag Deraisa. He's working within Shitas Rashi. We could extend this also to the Shita of the Rambam as well. Rambam, who's working with a deraisa level, he quotes it as part of the mitzvah lo saseh, so included in that is the reason of a siyag deraisa. Everyone good with that? Any questions? Okay, excellent. Yeah,
Shalom. Everyone who says it's deraisa says it's a siyag, or do people say it's deraisa
Which one? For this Min HaMikdash Lo Yetze? Hard to say because the Gemara itself gives the reasoning, Shema Yinage, you might come to touch it. So hard to say that just an absolute deraisa without there being a chashash, because that would be rejecting the Gemara in Daf Yates. So those who hold this deraisa, everybody has to accept the Gemara your test. The question is whether it's a derabanan, which is the simple understanding, or whether it's a deraisa, which would then mean it's an example of siyag deraisa, like Rashi and Rama.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there are two things. One, you could say that might be a goof of the machlokas, meaning Rabbi Yehuda holds it's a siyag deraisa, and Meir holds it's a siyag derabanan. But even then, you could still say, let's say they both assume it's a siyag deraisa. You could still debate where exactly that shir goes. I'll give you an example. They talk about that shiurim are a shiurim when it comes to different onshin. The Gemara tells us it's a lach mosh misinai. At the same time, the Gemara tells us when it comes to eating on Yom Kippur, to shiur of kikoseves, because that's when a person gets full and satisfied. So which one is it? Halach mosh misinai, or about yishev adatz? So what the Acharim explained is that Chazal, the Torah gave us certain shiurim, Chazal have to figure out how to apply them, how they work exactly. So we're given a din that the siyag deraisa of Shema Yunagi might come to touch you. But what exactly does that mean? How far away does he have to be? So Rav Meir holds, as long as he's one block away. Yehuda says he has to be completely, he has to be in the house, and they have to be all the other side. So that, I think, could still make sense, even if they both assume it's a siyag deraisa. Yeah?
And that's not getting into like whether that means it's far for...
Say again?
It's not getting into that. That's irrespective of whether or not you need to be far.
That's a different, later Mishnah in this parak about giving time of the crowd. It's a different discussion. Yeah, Ali?
What about the Lashon of Rashi physically far? The Ran said was Mashma that is in Rabban.
The Ran, where's that Ran here? Yeah, go. Yeah, Rashi didn't say the Lashon of Chizuk. That was the Ran's understanding of it. He says, Chay nir das Rashi shekasa mektushaso lo yete, sheyase chizuk lidvarav shel yigrom lates mektushaso. I think he's just explaining that. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly that Lashon. That's the Ran, I think, interpreting Rashi. But I don't think there's any indication in Rashi in those words that say that. But I'm not entirely sure. Okay, so let's, yeah.
Is that still considered
deraita,
or is that like the
Rabbanan
and steroids?
Yeah, no, it's a full deraita. It's a full deraita. Yeah, the Rabban will quote them as a part of the Minyan Mitzvahs.
So how does that resolve the two dafs between
Yud Ches
and
Yud Tet? Yeah, so that's the point. Yud Tet is giving the reason of a siyag is a reason. The reason it's a chashash, And Yud Ches is a pasuk. So the pasuk itself could create the Torah Hashem could create psukim, create mitzvahs. Even though it's because of a chashash. Chashash is the motivation, but that could still motivate Kadosh Baruch Hu to have created a pasuk of Mikdash Le'etze.
But the Ran says that he's quoting Rashi on Yud Tet, Mikdash Le'etze. Rashi said, the Lashon of Rashi is Kulamar.
Mikdash Le'etze says Rashi, Kulamar Yaseh Chizik Lidvarav Shlo Yigrom Lates Mikdusha Litame. Right, so that's the language just explaining the Rashi, the Gemara here, that he should do certain things to make sure he doesn't cause himself to become Tameh, which is Pashup Shah in the Gemara. So it's not a diak in Rashi, it's a diak in the Gemara. That's what the Gemara says, it's a din derabanan, and we're just saying that's not a stira to a pasuk. You could still have a pasuk that's based on a chashash, based on a shia. So let's do one last piece here, which I... Yeah. Correct, exactly. He's using the drasha. He said the pasuk mina mikdash lo yetze, right? That's pasuk. Makes a drasha mikdushasa lo yetze. So how do we?
Sounds like more saying Rabbi Meir is
pointing out that. Said Rabbi Yehuda. It doesn't sound like he's rejecting that understanding. Just speaking about that, there still is a chashash, the same chashash that Rabbi Meir had. Yehuda has the same chashash, but he felt that chashash is even greater, whereby there needs to be a separation.
But
then he invokes lo yete miktushasa, right? Miktusha lo yete. He uses that. Oh, you're saying later on the Rabbi Yehuda darish mina mikdash dafka. Yeah.
Saying the Gemara doesn't sound like
Yeah, but the Gemara still seems to be going with the same svara, the same chashash of us liminge. This you want to say, otherwise the Gemara should have said Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, but it's late, it's a pasuk, it's a gzeirat hagazif. But he's bringing a svara now. So again, so there's a svara in the Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda, and there's a pasuk in the Mishnah, and you put the two together, and it's being a pasuk with the svara, with that chashash of Rabbi Yehuda. I'm not sure. Okay, let's do one last one piece here, continuing in this. Not sure if you got a chance to look at the last Maimakul Margalas Hayam here, but the Mishnah says for Rabbi Meir that although Rabbi Meir allowed the Kohen Gadol to leave the Beis HaMikdash, as long as he kept the proper distance, so then he had a stopping point. The Mishnah said, Ad Pesach Shar Ha'ir. He can't leave the city. That's where we draw the line. He can't leave the city. So why can't he leave the city? Why draw the line at that point? Why not walk outside the field and walk near the Beis HaKvaros? So there's a very interesting Minchas Chinuch that Margalis Hayam quotes here. And if Yosef Engel quotes two other answers, he brings in Rosh Hashanah. So let's go through these answers, what it means. Now also, not only the Mishnah, it's Rabbi the Rambam. Most the Rambam quotes this halacha as well. If you look at the Rambam number 5 in Hilchos Klei Mikdash, Perakeh, he writes, "Beis ubayis yehelo muchan b'mikdash." There has to be a house for the Kohen Gadol in the Beis Hamikdash v'hu anikra lishchas Kohen Gadol. V'tifarto v'kivodo kvodo, his glory, his honor, sheye yoshev b'mikdash kol yom. He must stay there the whole time. That's lashon mikdusha sola yetzei. He should not leave his kedusha. He should not leave his tiferes, his kavod. He should remain holy his whole life. V'lo yotza elo lebeis ubevad b'layla, osha oshaim b'yom. He could escape at nighttime to his own personal house, or an hour or two here and there during the day, a little afternoon nap or something. But he has to pretty much stay in the basement dash. V'yehe beiso, and his house where he goes back, his personal home must be in Yerushalayim. V'eino zaz misham. He cannot leave the Yerushalayim. So we have now three dinim of leaving. The Isser of a regular Kohen cannot leave the Beis HaMikdash when he does the Avodah. Then we focus most of the discussion today, the Kohen Gadol could also not leave the Beis HaMikdash when he has a mace. And there's a third Isser Yetziah, the Kohen Gadol cannot even leave Yerushalayim. Achar Pesach Beiso, or Achar Pesach Iro, and the Rambam writes, Lalacha, he cannot leave Yerushalayim his entire life. He could go from the Beis HaMikdash to his house. That house must be in Yerushalayim. So why is that? So, Margalis Hayam quotes in the Minchas Chinuch, there's a din of Lina. Lina is karbanos. When a person brings a karban, he needs to stay overnight in Yerushalayim. The special din of Lina comes up in various sugyas. Comes Li Larego, a person goes to Shlosh Yergalim, he brings a karban re'iyah. And there's a din, you need to stay overnight. You sleep overnight in Yerushalayim. It's called Lina. It's different than there's a psul Lina by the karban. That's a psul Lina, that's a different thing. But the same idea, it stays out overnight. Here's the individual, the Baal of the carbon, must stay out overnight. So there's a special halacha that Kohen Gadol brings the carbon every single day, the Minchas Chavitim. He brings Minchas Chavitim every single day. Half of the Minchas is brought in the morning, the other half is brought in the afternoon. And since he brings a carbon, he requires staying in Yerushalayim every day. Talon Lina. He brings a carbon Sunday, he needs Lina Sunday night. He say he brings a carbon Monday, he has to do Lina Monday night. And since he brings every single day of his life, Mimela, he requires Lina. And that's why the Minchas Chinuch explains he's not allowed to leave Yerushalayim for a separate din, nothing to do with leaving the Beis HaMikdash because of a mace, rather because he's ta'on lina and must remain in Yerushalayim his entire life. That's one pshat. That's the Minchas Chinuch's understanding. If Yosef Engel, a lot of Yosef Engel today, in Gilyonei HaShas in Rosh Hashanah Daf Hei, he also quotes his Minchas Chinuch, but then he suggests something else. He thought maybe this idea of not leaving Yerushalayim is not a din in his whole life. Rambam says this sounds like a din in general. He can never leave Yerushalayim. If Yosef Engel says, maybe this is a special din when the Kohen Gadol loses a relative, a mace. Special din by mace. Why? So he says two explanations. One explanation is, min ha-mikdash lo yetzei. What's the definition of Beis HaMikdash? Beis HaMikdash. He pointed out before, Moshe said that it was Rashi says, Mikdash Dafka, right? Dafka Beis HaMikdash. So, the Rambam and Rashi have another well-known machlokas about the definition of Beis HaMikdash. The sugya is in Rosh Hashanah, the fourth parak, the first mission of the fourth parak, when the din is that you can't blow shofar on Shabbos. However, in the Beis HaMikdash, when Rosh Hashanah, Chal Yos B'Shabbos, then the din is you could blow the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi says that means you could blow the Beis HaMikdash in Beis HaMikdash Dafka. The Rambam holds you could blow all of Yerushalayim. Beis HaMikdash there means the entire Yerushalayim. So that's another discussion, interesting machlokas there. Rashi says why it means Beis HaMikdash only. The reason why you can blow the shofar is because Ein Shfus B'Mikdash, they know they're abundant to the Beis HaMikdash. That only applies to the Beis HaMikdash proper. Does not apply to all of Yerushalayim. The Rambam is understanding the simple level, just again, it's a parenthetical point. The Rambam holds the reason why you can't blow the Beis HaMikdash elsewhere, but you can blow in the Beis HaMikdash is because of Emas Bezdin, not because of Ein Shfus B'Mikdash, because the fear of Sanhedrin, the fear of Bezdin, and you felt that Sanhedrin had power over all of Yerushalayim, so you won't make a mistake and carry anyone you shalim because of the Emas Bezdin. So that's a machlokas by Rosh Hashanah. So Rabbi Yosef Engel says maybe that's the same machlokas here as well, Min HaMikdash Lo Yetzei. Rashi takes Min HaMikdash Lo Yetzei literally. You can't leave the Beis HaMikdash. Rambam says, no, you can leave the Beis HaMikdash. Just don't leave your shalim. Min HaMikdash means Min Yerushalayim Lo Yetzei. Just like by shofar. You could blow shofar on Shabbos in Beis HaMikdash. That means all of Yerushalayim for the Rambam. Here, too, it also means Yerushalayim. But again, this din of exiting Yerushalayim, according to Yosef Engel, only applies when the Kohen Gadol loses a relative. But in general, he can leave Yerushalayim if he wants. As opposed to, according to, we just saw in, according to Margalos Yam and Chaschinach, the Kohen Gadol can never, ever leave Yerushalayim. And I give you the final shot that the Rav Yosef Engel suggests, is it's a very technical point. According to Rabbi Meir, he allowed you to leave the Beis HaMikdash and go around this corner, then the Levayas that corner, and you're always like one step behind. And the different blocks and alleyways to navigate and keep your distance to Kohen Gadol in the maze. But the moment you exit Yerushalayim, there are no more alleyways. It was just like field, emptiness. There's no lines of this block and that block. So now the Kohen Gadol is outside, and Levaya is also outside. Maybe it's 500 feet ahead, but there's no demarcations of this block and that block, this alleyway and that alleyway. So for technical reasons, he felt exiting Yerushalayim when following the mace would be problematic. And for that reason, he said maybe that's why we have an issur of exiting Yerushalayim. And on this, and I'll finish with this, he asked the question, so wait a second. Now we see the Kohen Gadol cannot leave Yerushalayim. So he asks the question, but don't we have the Kohen Gadol could serve on Sanhedrin, the Mishnah says. And part of the obligations of Sanhedrin, if there's an Egla Rufa, some city, who knows where, up in the north, Sanhedrin goes out and has to measure who's responsible of this mace, which city is closest. They measure it out. The Sanhedrin goes there. The Kohen Gadol is going to leave Yerushalayim now to go do this? How is that allowed? So we have a few answers. So he says, lo, Torah mitzvah allowed. The issur of leaving Yerushalayim exists for no reason you can't leave. The Torah mitzvah, the Torah Egla Rufa, you'd be allowed to. But he doesn't make this suggestion, which I think would be natural based on what he had said earlier. He could have said, the only issur to leave Yerushalayim is when there's a mace. That's when the issur applies. Min HaMikdash Lo Yetzei is only by a mace. Min Yerushalayim Lo Yetzei is only by a mace. But when there's no mace, he didn't lose a relative, there's no issur anymore. And therefore, he should be able to go out and measure. So these are a couple of answers. Let me quickly recap, and we'll stop here. We start talking about the Min HaMikdash Lo Yetzei, is it Derabanan, Deraisa? The Mishnah sounds like a Deraisa. Yotes Gemara sounds like it's Derabanan. Pashas is, the Gemara says it's Derabanan. The Rama and Rashi both indicate it's a Deraisa, and either they changed the opinions, Derabanan, Deraisas, or like a Yosef Engel, it's a really Deraisa with a ta'am of a Siag, the Siag Deraisa. There's a Chashash on a Deraisa level. And then we discussed this last point of, in addition to the Isser leaving the Beis HaMikdash, there's an Isser to leave Yerushalayim, either because of he brings a carbon every single day in Tal and Lino, he must remain Yerushalayim, or because Min HaMikdash really means Min Yerushalayim Lo Yetzei, or perhaps because outside Yerushalayim there are no more indicators of separations of alleyways, so for technical reasons, when he loses a mace, he should not leave the Yerushalayim. Okay, we'll stop here. And here's Hashem.